Hello, this is Brother Denny. Welcome to Charity Ministries. Our desire is that your life would be blessed and changed by this message. This message is not copyrighted and is not to be bought or sold. You are welcome to make copies for your friends and neighbors. If you would like additional messages, please go to our website for a complete listing at www.charityministries.org. If you would like a catalog of other sermons, please call 1-800-227-7902 or write to Charity Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, PA, 17522. These messages are offered to all without charge by the free will offerings of God's people. A special thank you to all who support this ministry.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to sing a little song and then have prayer and get into the session this afternoon. I think most of you probably know the little chorus. Come bless the Lord. How many of you know that? Young men lead out, sisters follow. And we'll just go right from that song right into prayer, okay? Should we do that? Let's stand to our feet. The song is a call to the heart of the people of God to praise and worship the one who is worthy of all of our heart's praise and adoration. Come bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place today. What an honor and a privilege we have, Father, with the millions and hundreds of millions who have never heard your Son's name one time. We sit in a meeting like this, Father. We thank you for it. Blessed are our eyes and blessed are our ears. So we praise you, Father. We glorify you with our hearts and with the fruit of our lips, bringing thanksgiving as a spiritual sacrifice unto thee. Lord, have your way in this meeting today. Give us ears to hear. Give me a heart to say that which is upon your heart today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, yesterday, we left man in a terrible condition, and that's all right for him to be left there. And I found through the years it's good for a soul to be left there for a little while too. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And it's all right if a seeking soul is travailing a bit over the condition of their heart and their life. That's okay. And we will say more about that tomorrow. But we left man yesterday in a terrible condition. The light
had gone out in Him. Fellowship with His Creator was gone. He's now under the authority of Satan. His body and His soul are the dominant factors of His being. He is now a potential slave to the many impulses of the world around Him. His body and soul being thrown open to all of that without any control. He's in pretty sad condition. And it's going to take a supernatural work of God to change this man. And that's a little bit what our topic is this afternoon. The title of this message is God's Plan for Man. Yesterday, the fall of man. Today, God's plan for man. It's going to take a supernatural work of God to change this man in whom the light has gone out, in whom he has lost fellowship with his Creator, in whom he has found himself under the subjection and authority of Satan, in whom his body and soul are now dominant in him. It's going to take a supernatural work to change him. Our Lord Jesus found Israel in this sad condition when He began His earthly ministry and began to walk on the dusty roads of Israel and sail on the boats in the Sea of Galilee and look around and minister to all the different people that came to Him and listened to Him. Our Lord Jesus found man in this very condition that we described yesterday. And He began to tell man what was to come. Listen to some of the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, it all hasn't happened yet, but yet still, Jesus, knowing the condition of man, knowing man, knowing what was in man, knowing what man's need was, knowing that the day was soon coming when man's need would be or could be met, in a beautiful way, He begins to minister to these fallen creatures around Him. He said words like this, Matthew chapter 11, 28, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Imagine what those words mean to a lost humanity, to the sincere ones who know that something is wrong with them, but they're not sure exactly what is wrong with them. To hear Him say words like that. He said to those same type of people in John 10:10, "I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly." More abundantly, Jesus said. John chapter 7, and let's turn there and read, because I can't quote it all. I wished I could, but I can't. John chapter 7 and verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink." Now, obviously, this creation, this fallen creation, oh, we still have the diagram on the board, this fallen creation, surely they're thirsting because there is a void in them. You know, have you ever heard a preacher say that little phrase? God has put an empty space inside of man that can only be filled by God Himself. A vacuum, so to speak. A place there, man may spend all of his days, all of his life, in every means and way he could dream up to try to fill that empty space. And I'm telling you, this is what the empty space is. God is not there. But for a creation, a fallen creation, to hear the Lord Jesus say, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But even though the Holy Ghost was not yet given, Jesus is throwing these words out to them to let them know this is God's plan for man. God has planned for man that out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which he that believed should receive." God's plan for man. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now you have to remember, these people, they're listening to all these words, but it doesn't connect with them. I've been amazed as I read through the Gospels how much they did not understand. I mean, Jesus even took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw some beautiful things there. They saw the kingdom of God come. They saw Jesus light up in the glory of the coming kingdom. And after it was all done, Jesus told them, "Don't you tell anybody about this until after I am risen from the dead." But they didn't understand what he was talking about. But yet still, God's plan for man. The Lord Jesus lays these things out to them as if to stir within their hearts. Ah, yes, something better. Yes, somehow my need will be met. God will meet my need. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And a little further on in there, in verse 34, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." He was talking to a whole group of people who were in absolute bondage, but didn't know it, and said to them, "When the Son makes you free, you're going to be free. Indeed. Indeed." Jesus went on to say in John chapter 11 in verse 25, these beautiful words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Oh, those are beautiful words to fall on the ears of the heart of a fallen creation who is dead, who is dead spiritually, who is cut off, who all they look forward to is the grave, who watch their very bodies grow older day by day. "He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth on me shall never die." Never die. God's plan for man. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I will come to you and manifest myself to you." Jesus spoke these words to a fallen creation. John chapter 17, "This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Thy Son, whom Thou hast sent." These words that our Lord Jesus spoke, when we look at them, we understand more what they mean. But if you could grasp this afternoon that these people that were listening to these words, they never heard words like this before. Such words of hope, such good words, such words of good news falling upon the ears of their lost hearts. That's God's plan for man. "I am the light of the world. He that believeth on Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." All these words and many more which we could bring up here this afternoon are words which the Lord Jesus used to begin to unfold before His disciples and all those that were around Him God's plan for this fallen man. We can understand what effect these kind of words had on the sincere who knew that something major was wrong. And they still work the same way today on the heart of an individual who knows there's something wrong. When all of a sudden they hear words of faith, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of salvation, words that speak and define a beautiful change in an individual's life, to the sincere heart who hears those kind of words, hope begins to rise. Maybe something can happen to me. Jesus spoke so clearly of the supernatural nature of salvation when He spoke to Nicodemus. And let's turn over there and read that portion of Scripture in John chapter 3. Keeping in mind, as we're reading in John chapter 3, this dead spot inside the inner being of humankind, keeping in mind that which is dead inside of man, we read in John chapter 3 about a very religious man, Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that Thou doest except God be with him." That was very nice for Nicodemus to say, and it's interesting to see how Jesus turned that conversation. I mean, He turned it right away from Himself, didn't He? "Oh, Rabbi, we know you're a very special person and this and that." And Jesus just turned that thing completely away from Him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let that settle down upon your heart, Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, you have come, Nicodemus? You have come seeking light, Nicodemus? You've come seeking a word from the Master Teacher? You've come seeking understanding? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to start at the right place, Nicodemus. Nicodemus saith unto Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." two births there. Two births. Nicodemus says, well, how can this be? Can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born the second time? No, Nicodemus. There is a physical birth and there is a spiritual birth. You've had a physical birth, but you have not had a spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You see, he didn't understand. But the Lord Jesus nevertheless was speaking about the supernatural work that the Spirit of God does in the heart of this fallen creature who has lost out in the garden. He used the word born again. Use the word born from above. It means born of the Spirit. He's talking about the regeneration, like it is referred in Titus chapter 2 or chapter 3. Regeneration. That word regeneration means regenesis. Regenesis, good word. Good word for fallen man who lost the light of God in the Garden of Eden. Good word for fallen man who has fallen underneath the authority and dominion of Satan. Good news for, or good word for fallen man who has fallen under the dominion of his body and his soul and has no power over himself. Regenesis. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus and he uses the words which describe the supernatural work, the only thing that is going to change this fallen man and bring him out of the condition that he is in. Regenesis. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is describing that regeneration that takes place. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And let us turn and read together in Titus chapter 3 the beautiful description of this supernatural work that must take place in the heart of this fallen man. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. There's that word salvation. He salvaged us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's good news for a fallen man, isn't it? You can have a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can have a transformation on the inside. That's God's plan for man. Paul expresses it this way, in Colossians chapter 1, speaking of that supernatural work which is God's plan for man. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says these words, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Well, that takes care of that dominion and all of it, doesn't it? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That, brothers and sisters, is a supernatural work. Supernatural. Galatians, Paul said it this way to the Galatians, chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." There's God's plan for man, according to the will of God our Father. Delivered us from this present evil world. Well, that takes care of an Adam who is enslaved to all the impulses of the world, the physical, the sensual world around him. And let's read one more yet in 1 Peter chapter 1, if we can. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beautiful. And verse 3, Peter says it this way, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and He has begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That sounds like a supernatural work, doesn't it? God's plan for man is to do a supernatural work in his heart and change him into another being. This is God's plan for man. After looking at words like this and many other words just like it in the New Testament, my heart agrees with the Hebrew writer in chapter 2 and verse 3 where he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" And we looked at a lot of verses there as Jesus was speaking to these fallen men and women. He was speaking to them about this so great salvation. But then he goes on to say, "And was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." So the Hebrew writer says, "Oh my, how shall we escape if we neglect this so great salvation, this supernatural transformation of heart?" Man has no excuse. None at all. Now let's turn again where we were yesterday in Ezekiel. Let's turn back there again to Ezekiel 36 and look at that portion of Scripture again and spend a bit more time on it. Let us see from this portion of Scripture how God plans to change man. Verse 24, chapter 36. "I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now that's a beautiful description of how God plans to change man. He begins by saying, I will take you from among the heathen. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you ever considered it before, but the definition of the word church, the Greek word for church, is ekklesia. And that Greek word means the called out ones. And whether you understand it or not, whether you want to face it or not, each and every one of us has been called unto myself. Now here he says, I'll bring you into the land that I gave to your fathers. But if you study in the New Testament, you will clearly understand that the land of Canaan is just a beautiful type and shadow of a fulfilled, Spirit-filled, God-filled life. And so God says to fallen man, I will call you out of the world unto myself. You know, sometimes people get hung up on the separated from the world side of the thing, and it's all right, we need to be separated from the world, but our separation from the world, it doesn't make a lot of sense unless that separation from the world ends up with the separation unto God. God's not just calling us out of the world to make you a funny-looking people, to make you different than everybody else, but He calls us out of the world unto Himself. That's God's plan for man. I will call you out of the world and bring you unto Me, says God. Number two, I will wash away your sins. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more, it says in Hebrews chapter 10. I will wash away your sins. You see, because man has this darkened condition in the center of his being, and he's just left body and soul to itself, man is a sinner. And because man is a sinner, he sins. And because man sins, he has guilt on his heart over what he has done. And God says here in Ezekiel, I will wash away your sin. Not just the guilt of the sin, but I will wash away the sin. Whiter than snow. Yes, whiter than snow. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. God goes on to say, I will take away the stony heart out of you. You have a stony heart. You have a dead heart. You have a heart that is cut off from me. You have a heart that is separated from God. You have a hard heart. You have a darkened heart. I'm going to take that stony heart right out of you. And then, I'm going to give you a new heart. How about that? First, I'm going to get rid of that old one. That one that, if you have any sincerity about you at all, you're sick and tired of anyway. I'm going to get rid of that one, and then I'm going to give you a new one. Isn't that good news? Some time ago, I read these verses to a lost man, a seeking soul, who was seeking the Lord, who knew there was something not right in his life. And I read in these verses, and he stopped me at the end of the reading of the verses, and he said, You mean I can get a new heart? I said, yeah, that's right. You can get a new heart. Well, boy, he just got up on the edge of his seat. I mean, he was very interested from that point forward. You see, it's pretty hard to see your way through it all with that old, stony, darkened, separated heart. But God's plan for man is to take away the stony heart and give him a new heart. A new one. A brand new one. Isn't that good news? Well, he doesn't stop there. Oh, it gets better and better. And it does, by the way, get better and better. It's 28 years later for me, and it's better and better. But it gets better and better here. Then God says, a little further in these Scriptures, He says, after I've taken away the stony heart, after I've washed the sins away and taken away the stony heart and given you a new heart, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to put my Spirit in your new heart. Oh, glory! Just looking better all the time. This is more encouraging every move we make for this fallen man who has the light has gone out in him, who has fallen under the dominion of Satan, who has been left all by himself, body and soul, with no power. This sounds better all the time. I will put my Spirit in your new heart. Now you're going to have a power that you didn't have before. Not only that, it gets better yet. I'm going to write my laws on the tables of your new heart. Oh, before, you had them up here in your head. You had your lists, and you had to memorize them, and you had to quote them, and you had to put them on the doorpost so you would remember them. You had to tie them around your wrist so that you could look at them. You had to stop so many times a day and recite them. But oh, I've got good news for you. I'm going to write my laws on the tables of your new heart. And they'll just be there. And you won't have to be figuring it all out anymore. They will just be there on the tables of your new heart. I'm going to write my laws. Not only that, I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. I'm going to be there to help you. I'm going to move you in the direction of my ways. You will find it a blessing. You will find it a joy. You will find it not grievous at all to walk in my ways. I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. Not only that, we're going to dwell together in fellowship. We are going to dwell together in fellowship. We are going to have fellowship. God and man are going to have fellowship together again. That's what Adam lost back there. Remember yesterday? Heard that voice, that which was such a beautiful and sweet voice to him before? But all of a sudden he heard the voice of God walking in the cool of the garden. And he didn't want to have any fellowship there. I mean, he took off for the bushes. Here comes God. Oh, not anymore. Now, there's been a reconciliation. God and man is reconciled through the death of His Son. There's a reconciliation, and now God and man have fellowship together again. And lastly, I'm going to be your personal Father.
I will be your God and you will be my people, saith the Lord. I'm going to be your personal Father. Oh, that's beautiful news. No more just a fearful God. No more this God that makes everyone want to run and hide. No more this God that makes everyone tremble. No more this kind of a relationship. But now, I'm going to be your Father. I'm going to be your personal Father. And we're going to walk together. And we're going to talk together. And I'm going to watch over your life. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to make a way that I, God, can come and live in you and take possession of you, spirit, soul, and body. That's what God is saying in these verses we've read in Ezekiel 36. I'm going to make a way that I, God, can come and live in you and take possession of you again, spirit, soul, and body. And then ye shall be made whole. And not until then shall ye be made whole. Now let's go back to the diagram that we looked at yesterday and just consider all these things that we've been reading here in Ezekiel chapter 36. We know that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually. The light went off inside of them. They knew that they were naked. Immediately they knew they couldn't stand in the presence of a holy God anymore. They lost their fellowship with God. Something died inside of them. Yet there they stand, still alive, still breathing, still thinking, still perceiving, still feeling, still smelling, touching and tasting. But yet, life was very different from that moment on. Why? Because they died in their spirit. Man's spirit is cut off from God. Man's spirit is dead. That's why Paul could say to the Ephesians, ye were dead in your trespasses and sins. No, they weren't dead. They were walking around. Dead spiritually. This beautiful, supernatural transformation, regeneration, regenesis, recreation, new creation, all these words that we find in the New Testament, that takes place in the center of man's being. That's where the change takes place. God is after the whole man. This mighty change. We find it clearly revealed in New Testament scriptures. Let's read a few of those here this afternoon. Romans chapter 6 expresses it this way. Paul, speaking to the Romans, he says these words. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and following, Paul says these words. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now what Paul is speaking about there is, he's talking about a total transformation in the inner man. And he's saying, the inner man was an old man and he died with Christ. But the inner man is now a new man which was raised together with Christ. So the
The inner man, which was the old man, which was the old stony heart, is gone. And the inner man now, which is the new man, which is the place that was regenerated, is now been raised by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you are now a new creation. That's God's plan for man. The old man is crucified. And the new man is raised to walk in newness of life. In Colossians, he says it this way in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ye are complete in Him. That's speaking of Christ. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now here, Paul is using a different term to speak about the same thing. A cutting away of the old flesh and throwing it away. And a bringing in or the growing in of a new flesh. That's what circumcision was. But circumcision was simply a picture and a type of the inner transformation of the being of man, which will only come and can only come through Christ Jesus. But here he speaks of it as a circumcision. Cutting away. Cut it away and throw it away. And the new flesh grows in its place. Then he goes on in verse 12. And he calls it putting off the body of the sins of the flesh in verse 11. And that, by the way, is not talking about this body. It's talking about that old man. He goes on to say in verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. This is speaking of that supernatural work that God does inside the inner being of a lost man when he is born again by the Spirit of God. Buried with Him and raised with Him, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So He took care of Satan at the same time. He gave us a new heart. But at the same time that Christ went to the cross to give you and I a new heart, He also took care of the dominion of Satan in our life. So He's made the way wide open for this new man, this new creation, this regenesis to prosper. In light of some of those verses, Paul says these words in Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, my beloved, chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let your salvation work its way out into your life. Why? For it is God which worketh in you, both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Remember? Remember how it was in Ezekiel? I'm going to come inside of you. I'm going to write my laws on your heart, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. Here Paul says it this way. Give yourself to God. Why? Because God is inside of you. Now God is inside of you. Inspiring you, motivating you, writing upon the tables of your heart His beautiful ways, and empowering you to walk in His ways. So, yield yourself to God. Don't you realize God is inside of you? By the way, that can make quite a frustrating life if God is inside of you and somehow you still have your own mind. God is inside of you. Is God inside of you? Many references in the New Testament reference this supernatural work. It's spoken of as man being a new creature, a new creation, a quickening together. All these verses reference this supernatural work that Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about when He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember when I got born again. I mean, the light came on. Amen? The light came on. That's all there was to it. From one day to the next, the light came on. I found it. I know this is it. I know this is what everybody is looking for. I know it. Why, it seemed to me like I was flooded with all the wisdom of dozens and dozens of years in a moment. Why? Now I can see the kingdom of God. Why? I've been born of the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know how it is with you, but with me, when this beautiful transformation took place right inside of here, the next morning when I got up out of bed after that beautiful transformation, I still had long hair down here. The body hadn't caught up yet. But bless God, there was a regeneration on the inside. My inner being was totally transformed. I picked up this Bible and all of a sudden I began to read it with a consuming passion and desire that transformed my life. But I still had hair down to here. The body hadn't caught up with the inner man yet. God wants to change man in his inner being. God wants to come and dwell in him and bring man's soul and body back under the rule of His Spirit. And we look at God's plan for man. It doesn't stop here. It starts here. God comes in regenerating, regenesis power, and changes the inner man, crucifying the old man and raising a new man to walk in newness of light. And after giving that new heart a new creation, God comes and puts His Spirit inside of man's spirit, and now man can fellowship with God again. But that's not the end. That's the beginning of God's plan for man. That's not the end, that's the beginning. God wants to change man in his inner being and come and dwell inside of him so that God can bring man's soul, his mind and will and emotions and man's body back under the rule of His Spirit. God wants your entire being to be given up to Him. You shall have no other gods. God wants your whole life to be filled with personal fellowship with Him. No other loves. And God wants your whole person to be yielded in service to Him. You shall have no other masters. Young people, that's what God is pursuing. If you're here today and you know of a surety in your heart, you have been born again by the Spirit of God. I'm here to tell you, God is after your soul and your body. He wants to bring every part of your being underneath His subjection, His rule, His blessing, His power, His strength, His holiness, His righteousness, His purity. And that's the sanctification process. Now it's beautiful, the beginning, and it's a powerful beginning. But you might be a bit confused here if somehow you have this new evangelical mentality. You know, okay, I've been born again. Now we're just going to live our own life and praise God. We're waiting for the day when we can go to heaven. Sorry, my friend. That's a very shallow view of God's plan of salvation for man. Don't you know who God is? All of the rest of His creation has been brought underneath Him joyfully, willingly, lovingly, worshipfully underneath His control. Do you think that you will be anything different than that? If you are, in fact, this afternoon, a new creation in Christ Jesus, you must also find your place right along with the rest of His creation, lovingly, submittedly, underneath His control. And God is about that business in your lives. You may have been frustrating the grace of God some, because you may have some of your own will and your own plans yet in mind, but I'm here to tell you that this is God's plan for man. He has come to dwell inside of you and He will possess you, all of you, or He will have none of you. Don't forget it. This is what God is pursuing. Now let's just quickly make the application. Remember, we gave the three purposes yesterday. Let's look at them just briefly in closing here. If you're sitting here and you're not born again, it is good for you to listen to what you heard yesterday and also to listen to this today. This is what God is after in your life. He is not offering you a free ticket to heaven. No. God has so much more in mind for you than that. This is what God is after. It's good for you to consider it as you ponder the deep need of your own soul. Number two, are you a soul winner? You're sitting here saying, I want to learn how to win a soul to Jesus Christ. Know this, soul winner. This is what God is after. God's plan for man. If you know these things, you will not go out and find somebody on the street corner and quickly say, do you know you're a sinner? Yeah. Would you like to be saved? Yeah. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. Now you're saved. God bless you. You will not do that. That is not what God had in mind. Oh, the tragedies of this land. I mean, I heard the story the other day of a young man in a Bible school. He went out on a Saturday and came back and said, I won 30 souls to Jesus Christ today. Led 30 people to a personal saving faith in Jesus Christ. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He may have gotten 30 people to pray a simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. Amen. But he did not lead 30 people into a life-transforming regeneration of their inner being. He didn't do it. And number three, what about your personal theology? Well, it's good for you. Here, born again, sincere, wanting all that God has for you, it's good for you to know this is what God is pursuing in your life. He wants to dwell in you and possess every part of your being, your life, your goals, your dreams, your everything. He is to be all in all. Remember? Remember what we said to Adam yesterday? Adam, I'm all you need, Adam. I'm all you need. You don't need anything else, but you need all of me. It's good for your own personal theology to understand that God's plan for you, man or woman, is to bring you into that beautiful, joyful submission underneath.